just wanna flat line.
I just wanna
flat line. Maybe this is all my fault,
but I just wanna
flat line.
I just wanna
flat line. Maybe we going too far.
All right, welcome to the Flatline Fitness Podcast. This is the second installment over alcohol and fitness. This is your host, Joel Cummins.
And Garrett Augsberger.
So to start this podcast, we had a couple of requests to actually find out who we are and why we know what we know. Starting with me, I have my bachelor's in nutrition from Texas A&M. I have a few certifications revolving around body composition, fitness nutrition, and performance enhancement. Other than that, I'm just pretty much a nerd looking up all the latest studies on whatever I'm interested about.
And from my end, I am 2 months away from having my bachelor's in exercise science from the University of Texas in Arlington. As far as my certifications go, I have a certification as a specialist in sports nutrition and a specialist in strength and conditioning. So I have my CSCS and my SSN, kind of athlete-oriented from my end.
No, yeah, that CSCS is actually something that I will probably be pursuing myself. Yeah,
it was enjoyable to take part in, for sure.
Just because that's something that I think I should incorporate in myself. So for the topic of this podcast, we did take another vote on this, and we compared it to IFYM or macros. And for some reason, population really wanted to learn about alcohol and fitness. Probably just because it's so predominant in our culture right now.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people hear about that. Maybe they might hear more about macronutrients and if it fits your macros. So maybe it's a different topic that they haven't heard so much about.
Yeah, it's you know, you can have all the, you know, everything else in front of you, and a lot of people don't even consider alcohol as part of the equation.
Right.
But it's definitely a huge part of the equation.
Yeah, and you said it earlier, it's known as the fourth macronutrient.
It's known as the fourth macro, which, by the way, guys, this is our second go at it. We were having a Skype call, and it definitely failed on us.
Yeah, we were recording for about 15 minutes, and then Skype just decided to shut us down. So now we're both in person. Take two.
I know, it's definitely take two. So might get a little redundant in our heads, but this is definitely going to be new for you guys. So to start, basic, what is alcohol?
From a chemical standpoint, nutritionally, ethanol.
So yeah, from a dietary standpoint, we're talking about ethanol. From a chemical aspect, or just basic things of physiology, alcohol just refers to a carbon chain that has a hydroxyl group on it, which is just a negative charge of an oxygen to a hydrogen atom. So ethanol is actually just a basic two-carbon chain with an hydroxyl group on the second carbon. However, there are different alcohols. You got ethanol, propanol, hexanol, different carbon chain lengths. However, we're just going to be focusing on ethanol today.
Yeah, because that's what we're going to be seeing is in the dietary form.
Yeah, pretty much anything. Like, you look up whiskey, you know, pretty much anything that you're going to be consuming in the form of alcohol is just going to be ethanol. And it is used in different things like fuel and cleaners, like household goods and stuff like that.
Yeah.
However, how do you think that our body processes just basic ethanol in the form of diet?
That's a good question. It's definitely going to be different than your other macronutrients, right?
It's definitely processed a little bit more differently. So our body actually recognizes ethanol as a toxin. So our body does go through somewhat of a stress response when we consume alcohol. Mm-hmm. The main enzyme that helps to break down alcohol in the body is alcohol dehydrogenase, which the amount that we have in our body is heavily dependent upon genetics, gender, and age. So, you know, you can actually just look at population and see, like, people in their late teens, early 20s, and people binge drinking, and they, you know, some of them have phenomenal physiques, and you're just question, how do they look, how they do? And the possibility is that they just have a lot more alcohol dehydrogenase, and the fact that they're just young and their metabolic rate is pretty high.
Right. So you're saying it's going to vary on age, gender, things like that, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of things that go into account. the main process that alcohol dehydrogenase aids in is converting it to NAD, which if you think of just basic chemistry or biology, NAD stands for nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide, which is a pretty complicated sounding compound, but it's pretty much the basic compound for the citric acid cycle and glycolysis. It's also converted the same way that we convert fat in the body. So alcohol is actually digested very similar to the way we digest fat.
So what's that mean for me if I'm going to go out and have some drinks? What should I not eat along with that?
So let's just say that if we have plans, like Garrett and I are going to go get wasted tonight. The main nutrient that I should probably focus on limiting in my diet is fat, just because of the fact that it's very calorically dense. Like Garrett, how many calories are in 1 gram of alcohol?
It's going to be 7.
How many are in grams of protein and carbs?
Protein and carbs are 4.
And fat?
That's up at 9.
So the fact that we're able to look that it's 7 and 9 being fat and alcohol, those are the most calorically dense and easiest to overconsume, which puts us in a caloric surplus really, really easy. So the fact that alcohol A digests a lot like fat and 2 is very calorically dense like fat, it would be best to limit fat intake for the day if I know that I'm going to be going to, you know, have a lot of brews with the guys or something like
right.
that.
Right. Yeah, I definitely agree.
Now, as far as the way alcohol affects things like protein, how would you say the body prioritizes digestion of alcohol in association with protein?
Right. So alcohol is going to have some impairing effects when it comes to digestion of protein in conjunction with alcohol. So alcohol is going to increase the expression of a protein called E3 ligase, which is an enzyme. Anything you hear that ends with the phrase ACE is always going to be an enzyme, pretty much. This particular enzyme breaks down proteins, and so alcohol increases that, which is going to increase the breakdown of proteins in your body. This is going to decrease, you know, your chance of building muscle, and it's going to decrease your muscle protein synthesis. And this happens by suppressing the phosphorylation and activation of the mTOR pathway. So it's just really going to promote your skeletal muscle atrophy, which is the breakdown of your muscle tissue.
Which is definitely the opposite of what we want to happen in the body.
Right.
So for instance, Parital in a 2014 study looked at the consumption of alcohol in the post-workout period. They looked at test subjects that were consuming whey protein, which is a really common post-workout nutrition protocol, and then looked at other subjects who were consuming whey protein and alcohol, and excess of 8 to 9 drinks worth of alcohol in the post-workout period, and they were able to see that upwards of 37 to 40% decrease in muscle protein synthesis, which was quite a significant drop in the amount of protein synthesis that we have in repairing of muscle tissue in the post-workout period, which suggests that, you know, if I'm going to train really, really hard and, you know, I know I'm going to be going to drink, let's say, for instance, I'm just working out with Garrett, you know, I have the mindset I'm going to go train really, really hard. It might not even be that beneficial if I'm going to be breaking down a lot of muscle tissue during that workout, because I'm not going to be able to properly repair it.
Right. So you're putting yourself in kind of a bigger hole.
No, you are.
Going to train. Yeah, you really are.
So it's like if someone has the mindset that I'm going to go train really, really hard, I would probably say that it'd be best to have a very mild workout before
definitely.
You go binge drink or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
You're going to wake up super sore, your muscle's not going to be recovered, and then, you know, chances of things like a hangover mm-hmm. are very prominent for the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you say that just like a basic hangover might affect my training the next day?
Yeah, so training with a hangover. I don't know if any of you out there have ever tried this.
It's really fun.
Glad you have some insight on that. But there are definitely some consequences when it comes to training with a hangover. To start off, hangovers are caused by dehydration within the body, and then this the toxicity of the alcohol, which, as Joel mentioned, your body does process alcohol as a toxin. So when it comes to being hungover, training hungover, you are going to be overly sensitive to stimuli like light, sound. Anybody with a hangover can tell you this, and it's just going to be much worse when
AKA
you're working out.
A headache.
Yeah, AKA a headache. So what does this mean? Training with a hangover, a study has shown that it's going to decrease your aerobic capacity by close to 20%. It's not conducive to any good training session at all.
So if my aerobic capacity goes down, I'm feeling like crap. Let's just say I twice the amount of drinks that I should have had the night before. I wake up super, super hungover. My aerobic capacity is down. I don't feel like going to the gym, but I know that I have legs planned. Basically, what do you think is going to happen if I go to the gym?
You're going to have a poor workout is what's going to happen. Yeah.
It's pretty much, if there are some conditional circumstances where it's like, I know that I'm not going to be working out tomorrow. Maybe someone has programmed a night. They've got some buddies in town. They want to go have more drinks than they should or something like that. And they know that they're not working out the day after. And the day that they are drinking, they have a programmed light day in the gym. In that circumstance, it might be semi-appropriate. But, optimal is to just not drink alcohol. But, there's a sanity portion to life. People are going to drink.
Right. Yeah, no, we're not saying that you just cut out all alcohol, because that people aren't going to do that. That's not how it works. Especially, college age, young kids, it's a part of life.
Yeah. You got to revolve the fitness lifestyle around alcohol, especially in College Station, I would have buddies that, I'd see in the gym all the time, but the thing is they were spinning their wheels. They would come train really hard and, they had good work ethic in the gym, but, pretty much every night they would go have, 10 to 12 drinks, wake up hungover, go train again. And what they're doing is they're pretty much not making any progress just because they're breaking down muscle tissue in the gym, working out hungover, which their total work capacity is going to be way down. Mm-hmm. And what are they doing? They're just further breaking down more muscle tissue without repairing.
Yeah, and it's all about finding a balance in life. But when it comes to drinking alcohol, it is going to cause some of the nutritional deficiencies and things like that. Your uptake of nutrients is going to be so much decreased.
Mm-hmm.
In and around the times you've been intaking alcohol. It just impairs so many things when it comes to your body's normal processes that you need to be very careful and limit it when you're trying to really focus on your training. If you're making training a priority, then you're going to have to cut back in some areas.
No, yeah, 100%. Like, for instance, when I did my show prep, or Garrett did his show prep, mm-hmm. You could probably ask us how much alcohol we had on prep. Probably zero to none.
Yeah.
Like,
no, it was very, very minimal to none. Yeah, because one, that your diet doesn't call for that.
Yeah, I know.
Two, your tolerance is extremely, extremely low.
It becomes dangerous.
It really does.
It does become dangerous. So, kind of relating it to show prep, people that are trying to lose weight, how do you think alcohol affects the fact of losing weight? We've gone over how it kind of impairs things like recovery and repairing muscle tissue. Mm-hmm. However, how do you think that relates to things like dropping weight as far as like fat?
Yeah, well, it's definitely going to negatively affect your ability to lose fat because it's going to slow down lipolysis or mm-hmm. the breakdown of fats and increase your rate of lipogenesis or the creation of fats in the body. I know you can expand upon that a little bit.
So pretty much everything that we want to be happening is not happening.
Yeah.
Lipolysis goes down, lipogenesis goes up. So what are we doing? We're no longer burning fat when we consume alcohol. Since our body recognizes alcohol as a stress, we're going to prioritize the digestion of alcohol and processes in the body, protein synthesis, lipolysis, and gluconeogenesis, the conversion of glucose in the body, is going to go down. And what goes up is, fat gain. So if I'm going drinking, I'm no longer going to be burning fat. What I'm going to be doing is creating fatty tissue. And let's just say, you know, I go have that post-intoxication binge. I'm no longer burning fat, but pretty much everything is recognized as a stress from alcohol. And if I'm going to eat, let's say I'm having that 2 a.m. binge at Whataburger, which is pretty common. Maybe it's Taco Bell. You know, Coletzel.
It just depends on who you are. Yeah,
Coletzel would say Taco Bell. But basically, it's everything that you're eating after that binge is going to be stored as fat, which is definitely not optimal, especially when you're trying to lose weight.
Yeah, so in the when you're drinking alcohol and then you also have the presence of like a high-carb, high-fat meal, it's definitely possible to induce reactive hypoglycemia and really kind of exacerbating your insulin secretion in the body. And these are things that you just really don't want to happen while you have alcohol in your system. It tends to have the tendency to attenuate your increase in serum fatty acid concentrations in the blood.
Triglyceride levels.
Your triglyceride levels go up. Sorry, that's what I'm basically saying. And what are triglycerides, Joel?
Triglycerides are basically just the form of fat in the blood. Tri meaning three, glyceride meaning glycerol. Mm-hmm. So three chains of glycerol put together, which is the simplest form of fatty acids in the body, in the blood.
Yeah, exactly. And those concentrations are going up when you are intaking alcohol along with a carbohydrate meal.
Which raises heart rate, blood pressure, and it could have an effect on things like cholesterol. However, I probably wouldn't say that even studies get behind the fact that cholesterol has an impact with alcohol. From a hormonal standpoint, alcohol has a huge effect on things like leptin and ghrelin. Mm-hmm. Leptin being our hunger suppressing hormone and ghrelin being our hunger inducing hormone.
Stimulating, yeah.
So this kind of ties in back to the binge after binging on alcohol. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, if you consume alcohol, you're going to be hungry pretty quick because it raises ghrelin mm-hmm. and it suppresses leptin. So it's pretty much you're getting a double whammy on how hungry you're going to be.
Yep.
So your body doesn't need more calories, but you're going to be hungry.
Exactly, because you feel hungry. You're going to give your body what it wants.
So it's, you know, in a sense, alcohol isn't the devil, you know. Would you say? I mean, I drink, but I definitely moderate it.
I definitely say it needs to be moderated. It is not conducive to proper training and nutrition.
Yeah.
But, you know, we talked about it. Yeah, gotta have a balance. People are gonna drink.
It's part of lifestyle.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing is, you know, learning to moderate it. You know, you can have alcohol. It's not gonna be the end of the world. But you know, there are things that alcohol does to be honest, there's not a positive impact of alcohol on the body except for the fact that, you know, maybe you feel a little good on alcohol.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's kind of a little bit of the pleasure center right there. And then you can tie it into also, I didn't even think about this, but testosterone.
Yeah. So, a study that I looked at by Stella Volpe, he's a PhD registered dietitian, showed that it's definitely possible to decrease your testosterone production with the consumption of alcohol. And so we all know testosterone, it's a hormone, it's going to help you build muscle. That's just the basics of it to lay it out there for you. So this is going to definitely lead to an inability to increase your muscle mass in men and even women.
Yeah, and actually, like, studies show that acutely, testosterone skyrockets from the increase of alcohol in our diet, which I mean makes sense. Like if you're out with buddies, and they've had a few drinks, they get pretty flirty. Like that's just a thing.
Yep.
However, I mean, chronic drinking leads to a decrease.
Right.
100%. That's definitely what that study's looking.
Yeah. So those long-term effects are quite. There's a huge laundry list of long-term effects. That's just one of them. Muscle damage and weakness is another one. It's possible to have exercise-induced anaphylaxis and asthma mm-hmm. with chronic consumption of alcohol. Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, the process of oxygen in the body goes way down mm-hmm. when you consume alcohol.
Yeah, so your strength is affected, your performance is impaired depending on the dosage. Your cardiovascular responses to exercise are definitely altered as well. Neuromuscular connections,
Oh yeah,
there's,
the fact that we're killing brain cells the night
yeah, no,
before.
definitely. Yeah, and then also your in your metabolic responses, everything is definitely thrown off with chronic consumption.
Yeah, metabolic rate, it has been shown to be suppressed also. I haven't even thought about that, but metabolic rate has been shown to be suppressed as upwards, I think I saw 23% in a 2010 study.
That's crazy.
I don't even remember who I saw conducted the study, but it said upwards of 20 to 23% drop in metabolic rate, just acutely. I didn't look at anything as far as like chronic drinking to see if it had like long-term effects on metabolic rate. But acutely, it's got a very significant drop, which goes into even more account in that post-intoxication binge at Whataburger.
Bingo.
However, you can fit in alcohol.
You can,
You can definitely fit in alcohol. Like again, we said at the beginning, it has 7 calories per gram. You can, track alcohol on MyFitnessPal if someone is trying to do that.
Definitely.
Is it optimal? No. Can
No.
we do it? I say yes. Do you have any other like, as far as like topics around alcohol, or is there kind of anything else that you'd like to cover as far as alcohol?
I mean, other than what it means for us long term, what it means for us short term, that's really what we care about. The question that you guys are probably going to be asking is, what does this mean for me? How does this affect me? What should I be doing? Be smart. Limit the alcohol intake, obviously. If you're prioritizing your training and nutrition, it needs to be minimal levels. If you're just your everyday, gym bro, whatever, and trying to get a workout in, but still wanting to go get some drinks, again, just be careful with it. Limit it. If you want to track it, track it. Like Joel said.
If someone's bulking, I mean,
Oh yeah, right.
I'm gonna say that the alcohol calories isn't gonna matter as much. But like we said, in association with something like a diet or a show prep or something, alcohol's just not ideal. But it depends. If I'm dieting and let's just say like there's a huge group of people going out to bars or whatever, I might go just have like vodka and tonic water with a lime or something. I don't know, something lower calorie, which I would say for the most part,
Sounds lame.
sticking to. I know it's super lame. I would totally rather have a Shiner or something. Dark beer for days, man. If you are to go out and have drinks, I recommend staying to something like light beer or something like flavored water with liquor. Would you say?
Definitely the lesser of the two evils. Pick your
Yeah.
poison.
I mean,
Literally pick your poison.
alcohol is alcohol. But if you want to have a mindset of saving calories, definitely stick to things like light beer and liquor for the most part. You don't want a margarita,
No, I mean,
which is great, but
So, like, takeaway points. Alcohol impairs a lot of things in the body. But that's not to say that you can't go enjoy yourself. When you can, just as long as you're smart about it.
I think it ties in a lot to the first podcast when we say the phrase, it depends.
It does depend.
Oh my
Yeah,
goodness, we're going to
we did say
reiterate
that a
that every
lot. Oh my gosh,
podcast,
because
every time.
it does. So.
It just depends on goals. Like I said, someone trying to lose weight, not optimal. Bulking, it's a little bit easier. Just depends. From a caloric standpoint, I say just track it.
You definitely can. A lot of times, you don't want to because,
You don't care.
you're having a drink. Like, I don't want to track this. So, sure, whatever. Go ahead. Track it or don't.
I think if someone is really preparing for a night of drinking, I think the one thing that they should focus on is just controlling their overall calories before going out and focusing on protein before.
Preparation. Yeah,
Yeah.
preparation.
And hydration. Drink a lot of water before you go out.
Definitely.
Especially just the fact that
Yeah,
alcohol
because I mean
is a diuretic.
it's a vasodilator, and it's going to increase your fluid loss,
But you know,
among other things.
people pee and get dehydrated when they're drunk. That's
You're
why.
right. Yeah. So, see any other interesting tidbits?
I mean, and to be honest, I think we kind of covered for the most part everything I had on my brain.
Let me take a look through my notes here, guys.
just see if we miss something.
Yeah, so because there's a lot of good points.
Did we miss a study?
No. I have an interesting little point.
Oh, okay.
So alcohol consumption can lead to thiamine deficiencies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so these thiamine is what, Joel? Tell me what thiamine is.
Are you talking? I want you to tell me.
The vitamin. It's a vitamin.
Just think of it basic as a vitamin.
Yeah, it's one of the vitamins that your body needs. So thiamine deficiencies are going to lead to decreases in carbohydrate metabolism and are going to increase your muscle atrophy.
So thiamine is actually a cofactor that helps to deliver glucose to where it needs to go.
Right.
So if we are, say, deficient in thiamine, we are not going to be able to process carbohydrates as optimally as we could.
Right, and so that's what we talked about earlier, you know, alcohol kind of contributing to impaired glycogen resynthesis within the body, as well as muscle repair, so...
Yeah, so there we go. Ending point. Yeah, great. It decreases thiamine.
Decreases thiamine. If you know what that is, if you don't...
Maybe just Google thiamine. Google thiamine. If you have another thought on thiamine.
Great. Other than that,
I got nothing else for them. Again, we will post... I said this last time. I said that we would post the studies, which we still need to go do.
We'll go back and do it.
I need to go copy and paste the studies that we used for the first podcast. But for this podcast, we will put the studies that we cited during this... podcast, and we will put it on our social media. I got nothing left for them. Thanks for tuning in. This is your host, Joel Cummins.
And Garrett Augsburger. As always, if you guys have questions, shoot us a DM on social media, on our Facebook or Instagram, Flatline Fitness Official, or on our personal accounts if you follow those. We love questions. Send us ideas for future topics, whatever it is you guys want. We'd love to talk about it. I think we're going to just talk about macros next week.
Yeah, so sorry. Keep it a little bit more basic.
Yeah, you don't get a vote for that one.
no vote for next week.
Maybe in 2 weeks' time. Yeah. So other than that, we really appreciate you guys tuning in. Suggestions, comments, concerns, send them to us. We need constructive criticism.
Yes, we do. And in the future, we will be doing like a Q&A portion for the podcast.
Right.
So pretty much any questions that you have revolving around health and fitness, just DM us or message us on Facebook or whatever. Just text us if you know us. Pretty much any question you have, we will do a Q&A portion when appropriate in a podcast. Other than that, that's what I got for them. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Thank you very much. I just want a flat line. I just want a flat line. Maybe this is all my fault. But I just want a flat line. I just want a flat line. Maybe we going too far.